Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We're joined now by Jeremy Cooney, who is another candidate for the state Senate. And once again, I will remind our listeners that we invite candidates for prominent federal, state, and local offices to join us during the campaign season here on Connections. Obviously, we prefer to have opposing candidates come on together to work through and debate the issues. And the truth is, it's been harder to convince the incumbents to come in. But we want our listeners to know that we have asked Senator Joe Robach to come on alongside his opponent, Jeremy Cooney. Senator Robach has not been able to make that work so far. He's declined the opportunity to come on the program so far before the election, but we hope that changes. And we shall see. But we do have Jeremy Cooney, who is the Democrat running in the 56th Senate District for the New York State Senate. Jeremy, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
I want to start by talking about your background, and I think it's valuable for our listeners to know before we get into your work history and why you decided to run for this office. Where were you born?
So I was born in an orphanage in Calcutta, India, but I was raised right here in the city of Rochester. I grew up in the South Wedge. I was adopted by a single mom who taught at MCC for almost three decades and went through city schools and then got a college scholarship to go on into college and then law school. But I'm a Rochester guy.
RCSD grad?
RCSD grad, proud graduate, and graduate of School of the Arts.
School of the Arts. And how did you like it growing up? How did you appreciate Rochester schools?
Oh, I love Rochester. And I had such a great experience in the city school district. I had great teachers, great classmates, and really great experiences. I can tell you that I was very active in my South Wedge or city community. I was active in my church community. I was a Boy Scout at Troop 200. Unfortunately, they just closed down a couple of years ago, but over in the St. Boniface area, and was an Eagle Scout.
Tell us about the work history before we get into what you want to do in Albany.
Sure. So I'm not new to politics. I've been in Democratic public service for about 15 years. I got my start working for the late Congresswoman Louise Slaughter down in Washington, and have worked for a couple of the governors here in New York, Governor Patterson and Governor Cuomo, and then, of course, recently served as the chief of staff to Mayor Lovely Warren at City Hall.
Can I ask, when you went to Washington, why that turned you on to politics as opposed to turning you off, given everything that we hear about Washington?
Listen, to work for Louise Slaughter is an honor and a privilege.
Yeah, that's not a comment on Louise Slaughter. I'm talking about the culture of Washington.
Absolutely. And you know what? She had her own culture and she set her own pace in Washington. So for me, it was the attraction of working and learning from her, and especially it was right out of college, right? So it was my first job. And, you know, to work for Louise Slaughter and on issues that were really health focused, that was her passion and it was my passion. And that was such a great opportunity.
And now you want to be a member of the New York State Senate. You are challenging longtime incumbent Joe Robach. Why did you decide on this particular race and this particular level of government?
After 25 years, I believe it's time for a change in this district, right? So I grew up in the 56th Senate District. I still live, obviously, in the 56th Senate District. And I can tell you a lot has happened since Joe Robach was first elected. He was 33 years old when he was first elected, right? And he went to serve in the state assembly as a Democrat and then flipped over to be quite the conservative Republican in the state Senate and where he's been the last 15 years. But here's what's changed. The school district is very different place than it was when I was in school, as we talked about earlier. Common sense gun safety is needed more than ever. I was in high school when Columbine first took place. And healthcare, we talked about health earlier. I lost my mom a few years ago to cancer, and that was a very difficult time in my life, obviously. But what was really difficult was trying to navigate a very complex healthcare system in New York. And ultimately, I made the decision after going through that process with her is that no family should have to go through what my family went through with navigating healthcare. Is this reimbursable? Is this not? You know, can we afford this service or treatment? Can we not? You know, we just have to do better because I believe healthcare is a right in this country.
All right. So if you go to Albany, what is issue number one? What animates you the most?
Well, I think that, and Jen answered just a few minutes ago, the Reproductive Health Act, I would agree with her in that. But when I say change, I really mean that it's time to send a new generation of leadership to Albany. And what I mean by that is if you want to change the culture of Albany, then you need to change the rules of the game. I believe in comprehensive ethics reform. I believe in term limits. I believe in banning outside income. I believe in the public financing of campaigns, right? These are things that incumbents who have been there for over two decades, in the case of Senator Robach, are never going to make a substantial progress on. It's just talked about. And I think we all can agree, especially with the Assemblyman Arrigo announcement just last week, that this is a culture that it's not a Democratic issue or a Republican issue. It's a cultural issue that has to be done better.
Okay, we're going to get back there in just a second. You did mention, again, your opponent is Senator Robach. Have you had a chance to appear with him in any debates so far in this campaign season?
We have not had a formal debate, although we both attended a candidate's night just the other week at Charlotte Community Association. So we had a chance to both address some issues face-to-face, but it wasn't a traditional debate as you would think about on television.
Okay. What's your relationship like with the senator?
I think it's fine. We have a very different opinion on the views, and you know, we can be in a room together and be polite and cordial. But again, this is about representing the views of this district, which I do not believe he represents the views.
All right. So when you say a new generation of Democrats, is that an ageist statement?
No, it's about a new way of thinking about leadership in Albany. Right? What's the definition of insanity? Doing something over and over again, expecting a different result. What's the definition of Albany? Electing the same people over and over again, expecting a different result. Here's the thing, Evan. I've been running a grassroots campaign since early part of the summer. We have been knocking on doors 7 days a week from Brockport to Brighton. And here's the thing that's different. We get to the door, we don't just give talking points. We shut up and we listen. And we say, what's on your mind? What's keeping you up at night? What are you most frustrated by? And it's the same things over and over again.
What do you
hear
most often?
Yeah, it's reproductive justice, and I think that's because of what's happening in Washington with the Kavanaugh confirmation. But it's also, again, healthcare access and affordability. It's common sense gun safety. I just had a parent tell me last night that her son, who is in Brighton schools, who is a first grader, had to do an active shooter drill, and he was terrified because they had to line up, and there's windows in the classroom, and they had all these first graders climb under their desks and hide and then have to be quiet for 5 minutes. I mean, this cannot be the new normal in our education system and in our country. And this is a clear example of where Joe Robach and I are very different on this issue, right? I have this, just like Jen Lunsford, I have the support of Moms Demand Action, which is an organization that supports gun sense candidates. But Joe has the highest rating from the NRA. He, in fact, has received the most amount of money from the NRA of any state senator in New York. So when you talk about March for Our Lives and this movement that we're hearing from the next generation of New Yorkers, high school students today, do you think that that's the kind of leader that's going to listen and make those progressive changes to gun safety laws? I don't think so.
But you're talking in generalities about gun safety, so let's get specific here. Are you in favor of any form of confiscation?
Yes. I support the Extreme Risk Protection Order, or ERPO, as it's called. That was a piece of legislation that was voted down just a few months ago in the last session.
What would it do?
That would allow law enforcement officers to take away a gun if they believe that the lawful gun owner was posing a danger to themselves or to someone else. It could be a mental health issue. It could be a stressful situation. It could be a criminal action. But it would allow them to make the judgment of common sense safety in that moment. And then, of course, a court would allow to be able to return that gun to the owner at a different time.
What about other forms of confidence? What about, let's just talk about semi-automatics. Do you think we ought to be able to own semi-automatics?
No.
And if we make it illegal to purchase them for the existing stock that's out there, should it be confiscated?
No.
Okay.
So I think we have to be very clear about that. You know, there were rights that were given to people and they have exercised their rights. And I think this, for the record, I think Democrats get a bad rap on this issue, right? I believe that the vast majority of lawful gun owners do the right thing. They want to do the right thing. They're not represented by the views and aspirations of the NRA. In fact, you know, listen, I'm not for taking away people's guns. I have shotguns. I'm a Eagle Scout. I have rifle merit badge, right? But that doesn't mean that we can't do those common sense restrictions. And I guess owning a semi-automatic weapon, I believe, is one of those things that we can do to help prevent the tragic loss of death due to gun violence.
But what's it going to be that's going to actually stop mass school shootings then? What's going to happen that we'll have a world where that is much more European, more what we see in Japan, where societies don't have mass shootings? What's it going to be? What's going to happen?
The honest answer is the cultural change, right? That it's not one piece of legislation that's going to make a difference there. But what we can do is that we know when there's situations, whether it's mental health related, whether it's stress or trauma induced, but when we have people who have access to guns, whether it's a lawful gun owner who leaves a firearm unattended in a home, right? Not locked up safely so that there has access to that gun by a non-lawful gun owner, right? These are the things that we can do to help restrict or reduce the incidence of violence. Universal background checks, right? Talking about things, that's more on the federal level, right? But we have an opportunity to strengthen those opportunities to make sure that we are doing a plethora of things that keep guns out of the hands of those who should not have them.
All right, on healthcare, so let's talk more about that. What form of healthcare system can New York State afford, and what is the wisest choice for the citizenry here?
I support the New York Health Act. It's the single-payer form of universal health care. As you probably are aware, Evan, it's passed in the Assembly year after year, and it's blocked in the State Senate, including by Senator Robach and the Republican majority. They're just one vote away from passing that legislation. Over the summer, there was a report that came out by the RAND Corporation that talks about, and this is a nonpartisan, of course, research. There's a lot of assumptions in that report, but basically, it said this was a cost savings to New York by 3% over the next 5 to 6 years. It's a big step, but I'm a person of action, right? And I think what we all can agree on, and based on my own story before, is that the current healthcare system isn't working. And if we can try something different and start to move the needle on areas that we feel very passionate about, preventative care, maternal health care, mental health, if we can start to move the needle on those, then we can always make legislation better. But we can't just sit on our hands and do nothing at all.
Okay. And this governor has not been all that, in fact, he has not been supportive of the New York Health Act. He hasn't led out front on it. He was just in a primary campaign in which someone else was pushing him in that direction. So I'm curious to know if you supported Cynthia Nixon or Andrew Cuomo, and if you will support Andrew Cuomo or Stephanie Miner.
I supported the governor in the primary, and I will support him in the election. I'm proud to support
him. But a lot of what you're saying is not is the kind of policy that the governor himself has not led on. New York Health Act is an example. Publicly financed campaigns. There's a number of corruption has been sort of piecemeal and slow. Why are you supporting the governor?
I support the governor because he's gotten things done on issues that matter to me, whether it's, again, common sense gun safety with the SAFE Act recently, marriage equality and social justice issues that are also important to me personally, and the fight for 15 and raising the minimum wage, which was incredibly important to me, especially coming from a city that deals with poverty like Rochester, which, by the way, of course, Senator Robach did not support. So let me tell you about the Senate and the Assembly versus the executive chamber or the governor's office. These are two separate branches of government. It's our role and responsibility to advocate for the citizens of our community in Rochester that may be different than what the governor does. But we have a co-equal branch of government, which allows us to pass legislation that we feel is in the best interest of the people that we're seeking to serve. And I believe that comprehensive healthcare reform is needed. I believe that universal healthcare and that healthcare as a right needs to be reflective legislatively. And I hope that the governor will agree to that. He has shown interest, I'll leave it there, in the New York Health Act. And I think with a Democratic Senate, which I do believe that we will see come January, he will feel more confident in coming out on these issues.
All right. So when it comes to the question on sort of overarching systemic philosophy, as I asked Jen Lunsford, I'll ask you, you consider yourself a capitalist? Do you think capitalism works?
I would agree with what Jen said. Social capitalism, I think, is probably the more defining broad term that I would define myself in. Look, I believe, let me give you an example. I believe that the upstate economy is something that we can actually make a difference on with real leadership and new leadership in the state Senate. So you know, Evan, that I've been working in this community for almost a decade on how we attract and retain young people to Rochester. This is an issue that I've been passionate about since I worked for Congresswoman Slaughter, since we helped start the Rock City Coalition. So the next step of that is to create economic incentives to allow young people to come back to upstate New York. So when I have been preparing for this run, I've been thinking and looking and researching at other states. And we have a program called Onward Upstate that would attract and incentivize young people to come not just to cities like Rochester, but to Buffalo and Syracuse and Albany and Plattsburgh and Malone, right? And this is based on student loan forgiveness, first-time homebuyer assistance program, and remote assistance grants. And I think it takes, again, someone who's from upstate, who understands the issue, who has moved away and then come back to understand those issues and then find ways to help bring back a generation of New Yorkers to upstate.
Well, when it comes to what attracts people or does not, John writes the program and says, if the Senate flips, the Dems will raise our taxes. How will they vote on taxes?
I have made a pledge not to raise the taxes. I do support a permanent 2% tax cap, which is, a decision that has been year to year in the budget process. That being said, I think we can make government more efficient, right? My experience in government already, whether you're talking about my time at City Hall or whether you're talking about my time in Albany, that experience has exposed me to a lot of opportunities for us to do and run public services better in New York. I believe that this governor, which is why I'm supporting him, believes in running a better and a more efficient government system. Those cost savings, whether we're talking about healthcare cost savings from the New York Health Act, whether we're talking about government efficiencies and data analyzing for efficiency, we can do better. And we can save taxpayers by doing that and not raising taxes, especially in upstate New York.
My guest is Jeremy Cooney, a state Senate candidate. Website is what, Jeremy?
It's just jeremycooney.com.
Jeremy Cooney, C-O-O-N-E-Y, jeremycooney.com. We, of course, have invited his opponent, the incumbent state senator Joe Robach, who declined to join us on this program. And we're still hoping to find some time before the election to have Senator Robach on, talking about his work in Albany, his record, and his hopes for legislation in the future. Now, do you agree with the Tom Golisanos of the world who say that we're driving the wealthiest New Yorkers out of this state?
Listen, people are going to make their own economic decisions based on their own tax and financial needs. I do think, and in fact, I just had a meet and greet event yesterday in the town of Gates, and one of the neighbors came up to me and said, I'm not from here, but I'm really nervous about staying here because the taxes seem too high in New York. And my friends down in North Carolina, their taxes are way lower. And we have the same size house. So what are you going to do about that, Jeremy? And, I looked at them and said, yeah, but we've got a great education system. And for generally speaking, our roads and bridges are pretty good. And we've got some great programs that help take care of our aging population, right? I don't want to get rid of those. But that being said, again, it's not about raising the taxes to drive people and talent out. We are the state of New York City. We are the state of the Finger Lakes, right? People are going to be attracted here because we don't have mudslides and hurricanes, thankfully, right? So we already have a wonderful community that we need to be proud of and know that people who want to be here will be here.
Would you raise taxes on even the wealthiest New Yorkers, even just the top line?
Are you referring to the millionaires?
Yeah.
So I would support the expansion of that.
Okay. So let's get through some other issues here before the hour is out with Jeremy Cooney, a state Senate candidate. You support legalization of marijuana across the board, full legalization.
I do. I believe not only is it a social justice issue, it's also an economic opportunity for upstate New York, and I'm not going to miss out on it. Look, New York has the way to lead. New York has always been a leader when it comes to innovation through public policy. We know that legalization of marijuana is going to happen. It just happened to our north, right, in Canada. And so why not embrace this, do what's right from a civil rights and criminal justice issue side, especially in communities like Rochester, but also take advantage of the agricultural business side, right? We have people who are looking for jobs. We have the land that can actually produce and perhaps benefit from this legalization if it takes place. So I would support that, and I would hope that we could create some jobs in upstate New York.
You've written that you're worried about climate change and that you want to be a member of a legislature that is aggressive in dealing with it. How? Specifically how?
So I look at the Green Jobs Plan that people have talked about as actually something that we could do here on a local level in Rochester. I know how state programs trickle down to communities like Rochester, right? There are all these big programs that get talked about, and then the jobs never actually show up, right? So one of the goals in terms of state legislation to reduce or to create more renewable energy sources is to retrofit homes. So I think there's a real opportunity of partnering with the mayor and partnering with other county and town leaders here to create a workforce around retrofitting homes. And we could pay for that through carbon offset funds, working with maybe the Community Foundation, for example. So there are some real local solutions that we could do while trying to accomplish some of the bigger goals of energy efficiency. I do support the more aggressive legislation in the state Senate, which would be 2030 versus a 2050 100% renewable energy goal.
Do you think that your party has a bigger appetite to do that, to pass it?
I think we do. I think we have a responsibility, and I think that we have an opportunity with a Democratic majority to have a real conversation about that.
You have mentioned on some occasions that if you're elected, you'd be the first Indian American to serve in the New York State legislature.
That's correct.
Tell me why you have occasionally highlighted that fact.
Well, I think representation matters, and diversity is important to have represented in the New York State legislature. Our New York State legislature should reflect the great diversity of New York State. And the fact that it's 2018 and one of the fastest growing immigrant populations in this country, Indian Americans, South Asians, have never had a seat at the table when it comes to public policy making in New York is shameful. Right. And this is a, you know, I represent the 56th district. Right. And this part of the district has a large South Asian population. And people come up to me, Republicans and Democrats, by the way, and say, we're excited to support you because we've never had anyone who looks like us serve in Albany. And we want to come see you in Albany. And I believe that's important.
All right. So you got time for a quick phone call? Can we do that?
Sure.
All right. Let me grab Adam in Newark. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, I'm really digging Jeremy's pitch here. I think him and the last guest both drove it right down the center of what I would call objective thinking, to where, yes, we want smaller issues, but we want more focus on issues, but we also support the bigger picture, which Cuomo, to me, they talk about, you know, the SAFE Act and certain things. To me, the biggest thing Cuomo ever did was stand up to the fracking industry. We might be participating in the industry, but we're not. We don't have wells in the Finger Lakes down in Southern Tier. Mm-hmm. I think that politics right now is becoming very emotional. I think I've said this before, and also that you brought up that Jeremy, Native American heritage?
No. South Asian. He'd be an Indian American with heritage from India.
American. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I blame
Columbus. He thought he found India.
Yeah, he mixed it all up, right? Yeah. He mixed it all up on it. No, but I'd like to say that I appreciate listening to the progressive views, and I think this is aligning with the generation of your guys' age, where we still know what's going on, but we want to be progressive and think forward. So. I appreciate listening to the conversation.
Adam, thanks for the phone call. What do you think, Jeremy?
Thank you, Adam. And I would just say this. When we got into this campaign has never been about Joe Robach. This campaign has been about what's next for upstate New York. I love Rochester. I grew up in Rochester. I was educated in Rochester. I live in Rochester. I want to have a family here in Rochester. So I want to have a say in what our community and what our state does to make sure that the next generation of New Yorkers have the same opportunities that I did. Look, I am so grateful to have the opportunity to run for office. I mean, let's think about this. I came to this country with nothing. I always say that I was born on the jetway of the Rochester International Airport when the nurse handed me to my mom. And through that process, I grew up and fell in love with upstate New York. Now, especially now, as the Senate is turning, we need to make sure that Rochester and upstate New York has representation in this new Democratic Senate. Look, we can't control the politics of Washington, D.C., but what we can do is stand up for our values as upstate New Yorkers, and I'm determined to do that.
All right, last minute, so let me just ask you. I know you've gone door to door. You've talked to a lot of voters. And certainly you talk to voters who are more conservative than you mm-hmm. or have supported Senator Robach or have questions about your politics. How do you bridge divides here? This does feel like we're frayed a little bit politically. And it's a team sport that is really tough to sort of bridge those differences. How are you going to be able to do that?
Mm-hmm. So I think stick with the issues. Right. So what are the issues that we have more in common? We talk about issues than when we talk about parties. And I think, again, this is another generational difference of. Stop voting the party line all the time. Do what's best for people in your district, right? So this district that I'm looking to represent is overwhelmingly Democratic. It voted for Hillary by double digits, voted for Barack by double digits. And since President Trump was elected, twice as many Democrats have registered to vote in the 56th Senate district than Republicans, right? But despite that, that doesn't mean that we can't find common ground, because I think as upstaters and Rochesterians, we look at things a little bit differently than New York City, say, for example, right? So we need to send upstate representatives to the State House to fight for our values in upstate, which are different than some of the priorities and values of downstate. So when you're talking about affordable affordable housing, whether you're talking about job creation and student loan debt, these are the things that matter to us in upstate, and I'm committed to bringing that next generation voice to Albany on behalf of us.
Online where, Jeremy Cooney?
JeremyCooney.com.
Jeremy Cooney is a candidate for state senate in the 56th district. We invited his opponent, who is the longtime incumbent in that district, Senator Joe Robach. He declined to join us today alongside Jeremy. We'll see if we can make it happen with the incumbents before the election. You heard Jen Lunsford earlier this hour. Rich Funke also declined to join us, but want our listeners to know we continue to reach out to candidates from all parties for prominent offices at the federal, state, and local levels. Jeremy, thanks for taking the time to join the program today.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
All right, our thanks to everyone involved in this program and all the different staff members. We know it's tough to coordinate schedules. We will keep trying. More connections coming up next.